Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll get the latest information from the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, check in with the Marine Corps League, and visit with the Minnesota Patriot Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
The first day of spring was earlier this week, and while the warmer weather hasn't settled in permanently, this is still a good opportunity to talk about spring and summer safety. We refer to the days between the end of winter and the beginning of fall as the 101 critical days of summer, and for good reason. The statistics show us that as the seasons change and the temperature rises, the number of injuries to our soldiers and airmen also tick upwards. During these 101 days, car accidents, accidental drownings, and alcohol-related injuries are much more common than we would like. A relaxing day out on the lake, a cross-country summer road trip, or even an office picnic softball game, each one of these scenarios offers an opportunity for injury if we're not careful. As you enjoy your well-earned downtime this summer, I ask you not to forget the importance of safety. A few simple actions on your part prevent bad things from happening. Helmets, seat belts, and life vests. None of these work if you don't use them. So please, make use of your safety equipment. Please, be safe and be smart as you enjoy everything the warmer weather has to offer.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, our guests for the first half of the show today are coming from Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, and includes Stephen Whitehead, the adjutant, and Trent Dilks, the legislative director. Gentlemen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you for having me.
Stephen, I'm going to start with you and make the adjutant wait for a minute, because you just had a big event over at the Capitol. It was called Vets Day on the Hill. And I understand we had buses of veterans coming from all over Minnesota, and you had a great day.
Yeah, we had a great turnout for Veterans Day on the Hill. It was the largest event that we had held over there for veterans in the last 10 years. We had about 18 buses from greater Minnesota travel all across the state, some of them leaving as early as 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, Mr. Adjutant, Stephen.
Yeah.
Every time I talk to you, we talk about transportation, but we're usually talking about getting veterans to their medical appointments. This time, the DAV of Minnesota was instrumental in helping get these veterans over to the Capitol.
That's correct, Tom. You know, the importance of getting the people actually at the Capitol to really advocate for our issues is extremely important to the DAV. So the DAV stepped up. We had a lot of local support as well, but the DAV made it one of our top priorities this year for Vets Day on the Hill to make sure we had the transportation piece so we don't have veterans themselves getting up so early, driving, and then having that risk of getting back home.
So a lot of veterans got to talk to a lot of our state legislators.
Yeah, this year we had the breakout rooms set up. So every district, we actually could have the legislators go to them versus having all of these veterans wandering the halls of the Capitol and potentially getting lost.
And Trent, DAV is part of the Commander's Task Force. And the Commander's Task Force is made up of the commanders of the 9 federally chartered veteran service organizations, such as DAV, American Legion, VFW, Marine Corps League. We're going to hear from them later in the show. But you got together over the winter, and you had a list of priorities that you wanted to work on, and you published some information about that, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. The Commander's Task Force, really, our work starts as soon as the last legislative session ends, and we worked on highlighting some of the things that either we didn't get accomplished or new problems that needed to be addressed by our veterans and our community and bring those to our lawmakers.
So you had a good opportunity on Vets Day of the Hill to introduce some of those things to our legislators. I'm sure they had a list of it prior to that, because that's part of what you do. How did it go over?
It went over really well. We were able to narrow down and really focus on a few priorities that we wanted to drive home and make the central theme of the day. We want to do things to help protect our widows of our service members, the surviving spouses. And we want to do some things to end some predatory lending that was going on and assignment of benefits that was taking advantage of our most vulnerable veterans. And then create some opportunities through business credits and things like that for them.
So now that that's all been introduced and the legislature is in session, we should all be nervous. You're the legislative director of the DAV, and you spend some time up at the Capitol.
Yeah, yep. I've been over there quite a bit testifying on things that line up with our priorities as an organization. And really, there's a lot of overlap, and you'll find out that almost every veterans organization is in line with these priorities. And so we get together and keep the issues going, and we got to keep pushing them forward.
We're speaking with Trent Dilks and Stefan Whitehead from the DAV of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Stefan, when you come on the show, we always talk about vans and transportation, and I understand you've got some new initiatives this year.
Absolutely, Tom. We're excited to announce that this year here in 2018, we're actually going to be expanding down to the southeast corner of the state, looking at Olmsted County, Steele, Dodge County, getting some vans down there hopefully within the next 6 months and start transporting some of those veterans up to their VA medical appointments. There's two CBOCs down there already. So, you know, it actually opens up a lot of avenues for veterans to get to their appointments.
CBOCs, community-based outpatient clinic.
That's correct. That is correct.
Remember, we don't use those. We have Speak English on the show.
Yes.
We learned several years ago that DAV has programs to go out and buy these vans and put them in place and help bring the veterans in, but all of your drivers are volunteers.
Every one of our drivers are volunteers. That's what makes this program so successful. This last year in 2017, the DAV of Minnesota drove 1.6 million miles in all across Minnesota transporting veterans. You know, we transported over, don't quote me on the number, but it was over 40,000 veterans that we transported to VA medical appointments. So obviously the need for volunteers is going to be extremely big for the southeast. Any volunteers that are down the southeast corner of the state, be watching out for an advertisement coming out to talk about our program.
Now, how do the veterans find out when the vans are running and when they're available and whether or not they can use them to get to their appointments?
We'll actually be bringing on one of our dispatchers for the area down there. We'll work with the county veteran service officers as well as one of our dispatchers, and we'll do advertising, letting the veterans know when the van's running, what day of the week, what time it leaves and everything. So there'll be a lot of additional advertising going on for that area down there to let everybody know.
And Trent, the first place for our veterans to go, of course, all over the state is their county veteran service officer for anything veteran-related, including finding out when your vans run.
Oh, absolutely. We partner with them, and I've been working on establishing this project down in the southeast. And the first piece of outreach is to the county veteran service officers. They know their veterans. They know their communities. They help us identify the need. They help us identify the potential riders and potential volunteers.
And Stefan, for how many vans do you have out there now?
We're up to 28 vans across the state of Minnesota now.
Now, does the DAV operate all of those vans, or you just turn some of them over to the CVSOs? Or?
All 28 of them are actually operated by volunteers that the DAV has across the state.
So you got vans going all over the place all the time.
We're hitting VA facilities in three states, right? Or four states counting Minnesota. We have Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Fargo, North Dakota, Twin Ports, Wisconsin. And then obviously both clinics are both VAs here in Minnesota.
So up in St. Cloud.
In St. Cloud and Minneapolis.
In Minneapolis. Now, I think last year you started a program up in the Arrowhead, didn't you, up in Duluth?
That is correct. That's actually about 18 months now, two years. And that is growing immensely. They're running every day of the week now, going out picking up veterans. And when our original vision was a couple days a week, and there's such a huge demand up there that he's actually running vans every day of the week.
Now, are those vans bringing them into Duluth, and then you put them on a bus and bring them down here, or how does that work?
Both. We actually do them door-to-door, take them to the Twin Ports Clinic if we need to, or we have buses that are coming down to Minneapolis or St. Cloud to the main VA as well.
So then, once again, if our veterans all over Minnesota that might be listening to the show need help to get to an appointment at whatever medical facility you're going to, all they really need to do is check with the local county veteran service officer.
That is correct.
And they can go to your website, davmn.org.
That's a great place to go. It has every one of our programs listed right there, so they know who the contact number is, so they can call our coordinator directly.
And if they have a valid driver's license, some time on their hands, and want to volunteer to be a driver, same place, davmn.org.
That is correct.
Gentlemen, you're doing a great job on the transportation and the legislative. We've got more to talk about, but we have to take a short break. We'll be back with more with DAV of Minnesota in just a moment. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with the DAV of Minnesota adjutant, Stefan Whitehead, and Trent Dilks, who's the legislative director. And they had a great Vets Day in the Hill and showed a lot of support for some veteran legislation that the Commander's Task Force is working on over there. And Trent, you are the legislative director. And I know you've got a few more things you'd like to share with us that you're trying to push at the legislature this year.
Absolutely. We're making a push for, so right now there's a property tax value exclusion that will carry over when a disabled veteran passes away. A surviving spouse will be able to use that for 8 years. We've been working on it for several years to get the surviving spouse to be able to stay in the home as long as they choose. And now we've got House File 3429 and Senate File 3261 that would accomplish that and go a little bit further.
Now, Trent, is there a list of the legislative initiatives for this year that our listeners can look at?
There is, and I would go to davmn.org and click on legislation, but I'm in a little partial.
Well, you're wearing that DAV sweater, so I'd expect you to say that. So if you want to find out what we're focusing on this year with the DAV of Minnesota and Commander's Task Force, go to davmn.org. And as host of the show and a civilian, and an old veteran, please take a look at all those initiatives and get on the phone and call your state elected officials and ask them to do some work to take care of our veterans who have earned the right to be taken care of because of the time and efforts that they put into our country and our freedom. Now, Mr. Adjutant, events. I know you like to talk about hunting and fishing.
I do, Tom. You know, one thing that here in Minnesota, veterans just love to do is be outdoors, you know, and a veteran loves the hunting and fishing environment, and we're getting definitely back into the swing of that with the spring here now. Here, the first week of May 1st through May 3rd, we have our annual turkey hunt that takes place up at Camp Ripley. All applicants are already turned in, but obviously there's still some time. If you go out there quickly today onto our website, you can still get an application turned in. The deadline is actually April 10th, so you have time to get it in to apply for the turkey hunt. But then also look at all the other events. We have a bunch of fishing events that we'll be doing this summer all across Minnesota. And the events are more about just spending time with other veterans. I know last year we visited a couple events, and there's 10 veterans in the boat, and I bet you there's only 3 lines in the water because everybody was just sitting back, relaxing, and just enjoying the time away from the stress of their normal life. And it's really about the quality of life that we're trying to get back into that veteran.
So as the ice goes out, you're going to have some fishing events. You've got some spring hunting events. You've also got some fall hunting events coming
up. Yep. Fall, we actually do a couple deer hunts that we do across the state up at Camp Ripley, and then we also do one up in northern Minnesota by Bagley. So they're on the website as well. Those that love deer hunting, please check those out because it's definitely a great time to get out there. And can't guarantee you're going to get anything, but it's on you. It's called hunting for a reason.
Now, who all is eligible to go to these hunts? And
all veterans. If you're a veteran, you're eligible to go on it. Obviously, when it comes to the veteran itself, we don't know who's disabled and who's not, and we just really want to make sure veterans, what they've done for this country and the sacrifice they made, they're able to really enjoy the life.
Now, Stefan, I've seen in your fall hunts, especially for the deer hunts, you've got some specialty equipment, like motorized wheelchairs and some other things, to get some of the more seriously hurt veterans out in the woods.
Absolutely. You know, any veteran can go. And a severely disabled veteran, we have wheelchairs. We have actually track chairs. We actually have portable deer stands that actually elevate in the air. So we actually will make sure that you're taken care of and you're safe, that you can actually get out there in the woods and take part of this. This is actually, doesn't matter your disability. We'll make sure you actually get a chance to take care of it.
So if you're interested in hunting, fishing, getting outdoors, DAV is here to help you. Go to davmn.org. And Trent, I know you've been to some of these events. How important is it for somebody that's strapped into a wheelchair and in the house all the time to get out in the fresh air?
Oh, to be able to see them get out and enjoy the fresh air and the camaraderie that comes with hanging out with other veterans and people who want to be there to support veterans, I think that's a big part of it as well.
We're speaking with Stefan Whitehead and Trent Dilks from DAV of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Stefan, I know you've got an outreach program that's getting fired up. Can you tell us about it?
Actually, I'm going to let Trent kind of highlight this because Trent's actually going to be doing probably 60% of these events himself, so I'll let Trent kind of highlight those.
All right, get to work, Trent.
All right. So we have outreach programs all over the state. We've got our national service officers who handle claims or traveling around Minnesota, and then we also hold town halls, legislative town halls, benefit seminars. We're out there at benefits fairs and in a vast array of events all across Minnesota.
And once again, you have information on that at davmn.org.
That's where I would go for it.
Stefan, eligibility. Who's eligible to be a member of the DAV of Minnesota?
You know, that's a great question, Tom. And everybody, I think, is there's several veterans out there that are a little confused about eligibility. When it comes to being eligible for the DAV, the big thing you got to look at is, were you injured or do you become have an illness during your time of service? And if you had that, definitely you should contact the DAV because there's a great chance that you are eligible for the DAV. It has not does not have to be tied to your actual war or anything. It could be just during your actual training time. If you got injured or became ill during your service, you could be eligible for the DAV.
We've said this on the show many times, but if that happened, if something happened while you were in the service, if you go to your county veteran service officer, they can help you start a claim. But then you have people that can help advocate for those claims, so they don't have to go hire a consultant. They can come get some free help from DAV and a lot of the other veteran service organizations.
Absolutely. You know, to navigate the VA system when it comes to getting the benefits that you've earned, it's very confusing, and it's sometimes very frustrating for veterans. The DAV has free service that we offer every veteran, regardless of being a member of the DAV or not. If you are a veteran, we offer free service to helping you with your benefits. You know, you can start that process right at their County Veteran Service Office, and they can actually work directly with the DAV as well.
So you've got experienced advocates to help, and they're probably located over at the Whipple Federal Building.
Yep, our National Service Officers spend 18 months of training. They pretty much have to go back and get a degree in order to become a National Service Officer. We want to make sure we have the best trained service officer out there so we can make sure that the service that that veteran's getting is top-notch.
Trent, it'd be a shame for a veteran to have to hire an attorney or a consultant to and give them a part of the benefits they've earned when they've got free help available.
Absolutely. It's something where we want our veterans to know that there are so many different avenues for the free help. There are county veteran service officers. There's Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. There's service organizations. There's the DAV. And there are a lot of places, and none of those that I mentioned will charge you a penny for that service.
And the county veteran service officer can help get them to you. But if they don't remember anything else, just remember davmn.org. You've got people that will help, and the help is there.
Absolutely. DAVMN.org is where I would go.
All right, guys. The DAV of Minnesota is a busy operation. You've got transportations. You're putting vans in place. You've got hunts. You've got fishing. You've got all kinds of stuff going on. Trent, how do you pay for all of that?
We pay for it one pair of pants at a time.
Mr. Adjutant, what's he talking about?
One pair of pants at a time. We have a great fundraising program that we have here in the state of Minnesota, and that's our clothing donation program. So anybody out there in the state can actually donate any used clothes that they no longer want, donate to the DAV, and we use that donation and turn it into revenue to help fund all these great programs for veterans.
Now, do you still have bins around the state where they can bring it, or do they call and you come pick it up?
We have both. We have over 300 bins spread out across the state of Minnesota in almost every community you can think of, as well as here in the metro area. We also have pickup services where we'll come to your place to pick it up for you.
And you've got that efficiently organized because you get paid by the pound.
We get paid by the pound. So your donations, it doesn't matter if it's one pair of pants or if it's several pairs of pants. Every piece helps us because we get paid by the pound.
All right, gentlemen, we just got about a minute left. We've got listeners all over Minnesota. You've got all kinds of things going on. How can we help you? Do you need volunteers? Do you need money? What is it you need?
You know, the biggest help we can have, you know, we are not able to do this without the support of our community when it comes to everything we do. Either supporting us when we're advocating for certain legislation bills and or the monetary piece. If you can, you know, help donate a few bucks, every penny goes to helping veterans here in Minnesota. We're very proud of our fundraising and that none of our money goes outside the state. It stays here and make sure we're taking care of Minnesota veterans.
We're doing a great job. Trent, good luck this year up at the Capitol.
Thank you very much.
And Stefan, once again, thanks for coming visit us in the studio again, and keep up the good work at davmn.org.
Thanks, Tom, for having us.
That was Stefan Whitehead and Trent Dilks from DAV of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to visit with the Marine Corps League.
Whoa.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to visit with the Marine Corps League and find out what's going on in all over Minnesota for our Marines. But first, it's time for the Commissioner Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
Last week, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, elected officials, stakeholders, residents, and families gathered at our Minneapolis Veterans Home campus to celebrate the grand opening of Building 22. This facility features 100 replacement beds and state-of-the-art care. The dedication of Building 22 marks the culmination of a three-phase project that began in 2012. Every day is Veterans Day at our Minnesota Veterans Homes. Our mission is to serve Minnesota veterans and their families through quality health care in an environment and community of trust, dignity, and sharing. I'm very proud of this accomplishment and look forward to visiting with residents at our new facility.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Now, for all of our Marines out there listening to our show, we've got a special guest in here, Jerry Walters, who's the Commandant of the Marine Corps League here in Minnesota. Jerry, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hoorah, thanks. Pleasure to be here.
Commandant, you've been coming back to visit us over the last 3 years. You've been on the show quite a bit.
That's correct. I almost know how to get here easier now.
Without the map.
Yeah.
That's good.
I only had a couple wrong turns today.
And I don't imagine there's anybody in the building that doesn't know you're a Marine with that red shirt and the Marine Corps insignia on it.
Well, it's my badge of honor. All Marines wear something they're proud of, and I'm proud of that. So,
as well as your new jacket and your new cap.
Oh, yes. Well, the jacket isn't that new, but the cap is.
So we can
but
see
I wear it. And my shirt, of course. You know.
We can see a Marine coming from a long way off, sir.
Oh, yeah, and every time, you know, you do those other things, you just take out your billfold, and it's got the big, which is bigger than anything, the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor on it, but we're ready to go. Ooh. Let everybody know what we are.
Semper Fi, Marine.
Thank you. Thank you.
He's got insignias all over him, and we're not going to ask him where else, because we don't want to get into that.
I hope not.
Well, Jerry, you're the Commandant of the Marine Corps League in Minnesota. I want to ask you how many detachments you have, how many members you have, and how's membership going?
Well, it's going well. We have 13 active detachments. One detachment, unfortunately, in Bemidji is having a lot of problems right now. Their commandant passed away, and a lot of their members have moved or are in the elderly age group, and they're having trouble going in there. But we have the rest of us are very, very active. I'm going to put a number at around 1,000 for the department. I'm not sure. That's totally a guess. I could be. Hopefully, I'm short, but I think I'm a little over there. But no, we have detachments basically most areas of the state, and we're trying to get some started right now in the northern area. I'm from up near Brainerd. The detachment I'm also a commandant of handles the Brainerd area in central Minnesota, north central Minnesota. We're working on Duluth area. There's a large contingent of Marines up there. I know there are. And the Virginia area, as well as the Grand Rapids area. And I think even down in somewhere there around the metropolitan area here. But basically, we've got the state pretty well covered, except for that northern region right now.
Now, Jerry, our service members have been real busy since 9/11/2001, and that includes the Army, the Air Force, and Navy, and, of course, your Marines.
Yes.
There's a lot of young Marines the last decade or more that have deployed and served our country. Are they signing up? Are they joining the Marine Corps League?
Some of them are. We're running into, and I think most of the service organizations that I talk to, and I'll specifically talk about the Marine Corps League, but I'm sure it relates to all of us from my conversations, is that the younger generation, when they come out of the service for whatever reason, they're of a different mindset. This is a new day of age now. Our technology is such that they have families, jobs, let's say the phones in their hands or whatever. They've got a lot to do. And basically what I'm hearing is, give me some space, give me some time. I need time to unwind, especially our veterans now that have been through the everywhere from Desert Storm to Iraq and now Afghanistan and other places in the world. They need time to unwind, to get accustomed back to society. And they're coming in. We have a few members in my own detachment that are very young. One enlisted within 6 months after being discharged, 4 years in the Marine Corps, and a couple others that are not much older than that. So this is great to see. We need that young blood. They've got new ideas, ways to invigorate us of the other generation here, and keep us on our toes and let us know that, hey, there's something out there for all of us, not just a few.
Now, Jerry, first half of the show we had on the DAV of MN of Minnesota, and they're part of the Commander's Task Force, which you are as well. It's the nine federally chartered veteran service organizations get together, and they talk about some legislative initiatives. We just had Vets Day on the Hill, which was well attended by veterans all over Minnesota. But if we have young Marines out there in Minnesota that want to be counted, want to be part of the Marine Corps League and participate in these legislative events, just by signing up and adding your name, your number, it gives you more clout up on the hill, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It certainly does. One thing I want to make everybody know perfectly clear, my viewpoint, we have 370-some thousand or something like this veterans in Minnesota. And I've heard, you know, well, we have Veterans Day on the Hill, and we get, I don't know the numbers. We were hoping for 1,000. I'm not sure how many were there. And it doesn't matter to me. I just know that there were responsible, caring veterans there. When these veterans go to the Capitol, and I hear, well, geez, all these other groups in the state are lobbying the same way. We've got the farm groups, the law groups, this group, and I'm not saying anything wrong. But I think one thing that the general population and most definitely our legislature needs to know is that these veterans out there, if you support as a legislature our veterans and our country does and our state does, you are supporting the doctors, the lawyers, the farmers, the bus drivers, the truck drivers, and the teachers, and all the rest of it, because that's who veterans are. So when you support the veterans' initiatives and help us become more responsible for what we do, you are, in effect, you know, helping all of these other areas in the state as well. So my advice to everybody is let them know that, number one, you are a veteran. And yes, I have concerns if I'm a small business owner, but I also am a veteran. If you support me as a veteran, this is going to help my business as well.
We're speaking with Jerry Walters, Commandant of the Marine Corps League of Minnesota, here on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Jerry, I've heard this for years. When I came back from Vietnam, I visited a local VFW. The World War II and the Korean guys were there, kind of conned me into signing up, and I did. But even going back that far, we heard the theory that the young veterans stand on the shoulders of the older veterans, and what the older veterans and the members of the veteran service organizations are doing at the Capitol is trying to make sure that our veterans that have served their country, sometimes were wounded and given so much, are being treated well, and that we're keeping the promise. You sign up, you swear an oath to your country, you go serve, and when we come back, we'll take care of you. That's what it's about, isn't it?
That is most certainly true. Right in our charter and in our bylaws of every detachment and department in the state or the country, for the Marine Corps League, it says in there, you signed an oath when you joined, you raised your hand when you enlisted in your branch of service. The oath you're taking here is exactly that same oath, except you're taking that with a little addition in there, meaning the Marine Corps League members and their families. But other than that, it's almost word for word the same oath. And it means just as much to me today to administer that oath to the young Marines and families that are witnessing this and to show them that, hey, we care for you. Yes, you've got concerns, but you need to know there's someone there that to talk to. There's someone there to ask questions of, to give you advice as to where to go if you need help, or just to be a buddy.
Commandant, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll chat more with Jerry Walters, Commandant of the Marine Corps League in Minnesota, right here on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with Jerry Walters, who's the Commandant of the Marine Corps League here in Minnesota. And he's looking for some young Marines and all Marines that want to come out and make a difference by adding their name to the count so that when they're out there working with our state legislatures to help take care of veterans' issues, your name is part of that. And if you want to learn more about the Marine Corps League, you can go to their Facebook page, which is Marine Corps League MN, and there's a link there to get to the website. The website is Marine Corps League. It's MCL. Department, DEPTMN.org, MCLDEPTMN.org. And Jerry, what all kind of information will they find on your website?
Well, they'll find where to find detachments in their particular area if they want, so that they can find out more about our league and what we do, and possibly there'll be contact names on there, and possibly will join us. I'd love to see more and more people come in and join us. The camaraderie of being with a fellow Marine or any branch of the service here is something. You know, a veteran can talk to a veteran, and a Marine kind of understands a Marine.
We got more than one Marine in the room, we got trouble.
There you go. but we do what we can. But you'll find the information on there and who to contact. There's a lot of programs out there you can become involved with. I think the main thing I would like to put out there is Marines helping Marines. You know, and I'm nothing about any other branch of the service, and all the other service organizations have theirs. But we Marines think we're a little special.
I've heard this before.
You have heard that before. And we take care of our own. And if there's a Marine out there that needs anything, why, especially just someone to talk to, why, this is a place to come. And the other major part of our service is our communities. We help our communities in any and all ways we can, whether it's putting out flags, it's serving as hosting, like my detachment will be hosting the Brainerd Area Memorial Day program this year, or whatever it is, we're there. And we want to help our communities, our Toys for Tots programs, our Toys for Kids programs, to help our young people and our children that are in need of having a pleasant Christmas, or making it a little nicer for both them and their families, whatever it is, serving as a color guard for a basketball game, a football game, a baseball game, a parade, you name it, the Marine Corps League will be there, as other branches of the service will be there too. But first and foremost is Marines helping Marines, and then our communities. And, of course, we branch out then into our legislative part for the state in all veterans, not just Marines. But specifically, we focus on our own.
Jerry, I think one of the most important things you said there was if our Marines are out there and they've got some kind of issue, something they want to talk about and they don't know who to talk to, if they come to one of your detachments, they'll find a fellow Marine that's probably been through the same things and a willing listener, and someone that they can share that with. That's pretty important, isn't it?
It is. A case in point, I had a Marine call me last night. I was on the phone. It was a Marine from Central Minnesota, not even a Marine that I did know many years ago. And he just had some issues and problems and wanted to talk. And we ended up spending almost an hour on the phone together. And I think we accomplished a lot talking with each other. It's you know, it's good for the gander, it's good for the goose here. It helped both of us. But it just put listening, understanding, supporting, or whatever way we can to help our brothers and sisters.
Now, Jerry, I understand you also supply some funeral details?
Oh, yes, we do. And it's a major part of some of our detachments more than others. We've got detachments, and one detachment alone in Park Rapids area, Star of the North, has close to 50 last year, and I'm fortunate enough to be a part of that group and perform with them. as a casket guard and serve as the bugler, playing the service song for all branches of the service we do the funerals for, and taps. So it's an honor to do this. I think it's my highest honor that I do, is to perform those final rites for our departed veterans, regardless of branch of service.
And are there any other projects coming up this summer?
Mostly, I think most of the departments or the detachments in the department, like mine, will be working on fundraisers, the brat sales, whatever it is, the flag sales, the rose sales, county fairs, and so forth, to help raise funds to support our programs that we do. And, of course, we always ask the public for help, and then we always get it.
So if you're a Marine out there in Minnesota and you want to join some fellow Marines without getting in too much trouble, Jerry, just go to Facebook and look for Marine Corps League MN, or you can go to their website, mcldeptmn.org. There'll be a link to that at the Facebook site, and we'll have a link to it on our website at Minnesota Military Radio. Jerry, I want to thank you for coming into the studio again. It's always good to see you.
Good to be here, and it's been a great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir. That was Jerry Walters, the Commandant of the Marine Corps League right here in Minnesota. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhard. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Oh, thank you, Tom.
Tim, how's all your Patriot Guard riders doing? We're getting towards the end of winter.
We are.
And it's probably time to start polishing up those motorcycles and getting them out of storage.
They are.
Did you ride one in today?
I did.
Oh, my, Tim. Wasn't it a little cold out there?
No. It's no different than riding a snowmobile.
All right. Well, watch out. Let's warn all our listeners. The motorcycles are coming out. Watch for them. Make sure that you see them. Tim, Patriot Guard, what's your website? Who's eligible to join?
Everybody's eligible. Just have to need a 3x5 flag and a heart that knows that they appreciate the military and what they do for us. The website is mnpatriotguard.org.
MNPatriotGuard.org. Just go there and you click on sign up.
Yep.
And then what happens is you'll start getting some emails about missions.
Yes. Yep. And then you can pick and choose whichever mission you can go to. We just want people to be there.
Tell us about the missions, Tim. How many do you go on each year, and what are they? What kind of missions?
About 500. We do a lot of veteran funeral missions, deployment missions where we actually get to see the soldiers, the airmen leave. Welcome homes are awesome when they come home. We do a lot of other things too. You know, like the...
Go visit the veterans' homes?
Visit the veterans' homes, and just anything that we're invited to, we'll make sure that people are there.
So you send out an email to everyone that's clicked on that website, and if they're available, they show up, and they always do.
They always do.
And there'll be a ride captain there to tell them what to do. It's pretty easy, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
All right, Tim, I know you also have a big fundraising event each year called the Patriot Ride.
Yes, we do.
When is that going to be this year?
It'll be June 30th.
June 30th will be here before you know it at the Anoka County Airport.
Yep.
And how many motorcycles are you going to have out there?
Well, this year we're expecting 5,000.
5,000. And one of the things that happens, you put that on in conjunction with the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund, I believe.
Yep.
And you raise some money there. So in addition to 500 or so missions, you help support organizations like the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, Project Backpack, Tribute to the Troops, outfits like that. But we just had a big event here in Minneapolis called the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And the Minnesota National Guard had 700 soldiers and airmen down there, and you did something special for them.
We actually bought them lunch.
On a cold January week.
Of course.
And I'll bet they loved it.
They did.
And in addition to that, we had the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota on the show for the first half today. And I understand you help them as well.
We do. We do a lot of hunts. You know, we do, actually what they do is they do the hunts. We feed them. We have a group of people that actually takes them somewhere in other parts of the country and takes them on hog hunts and turkey hunts and bird hunts of all different kinds, deer hunts, and we're out there helping disabled vets do their hunting.
Help get them out in the fresh air and help them get out of the house.
Oh, yes. We assign them a buddy, and they go out there and hunt, and we serve them lunches while out there in the field, and we just take care of them.
Some of the riders get to go along.
We do.
That's got to be just great.
It's awesome.
Good stuff. Now, Tim, Minnesota Patriot Guard, we've said it before, anybody's eligible to join, not just people with a motorcycle. I can even with my cage.
You can.
And I did sign up on your page. But I spend most of my time just talking about all the great things you guys are doing. But what's it all about? It's about our veterans and our service members.
Honor, dignity, and respect for our service members. They're the ones that have sacrificed so much for us as a people. We just need to show them the appreciation that they're due.
And you really see it and feel it if you've ever seen the line stand on the flag line with the Patriot Guard riders going into or out of a church for a funeral. It's one of the most moving, emotional things you can see and experience, and it's really changed your life, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. It's such an honor to do.
Tim, you guys do great work. Keep up the good work. Thanks for joining us today.
I will, and thank you.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the Flag Line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. We have one announcement today. The United States Naval Academy Upper Midwest Chapter invites you to attend an evening with the Honorable Richard Armitage, former Deputy Secretary of State. This Donald W. McCarthy Heartland Leadership Forum is Thursday evening, April 19th, with reception dinner from 5:30 to 8:30 at the University of Minnesota McNamara Alumni Center. Your business can sponsor the event or just reserve a table or tickets at usnaupermidwest.org. That's usnaupermidwest.org. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Stephan Whitehead and Trent Dilks from the DAV of Minnesota, Commandant Jerry Walters from the Marine Corps League, Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Shalito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about new treatment options at the Minneapolis VA and learn about the Red Cross Armed Forces Program. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota MilitaryRadio.com.